Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to start in chapter 2. We're going to go some places here tonight. I want to talk to you about leading a life worthy of the calling. Lead a life worthy of the calling. And so we're going to start right in verse 1 here in Ephesians 2. Everybody there? And you, say me, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, say once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. But that's not me anymore. It doesn't say that, I just said that. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, say but God. Oh, but God. You see, a lot of times when people talk to you and they say but, sometimes you want to be cautious of what they're going to say next. But when it's but God, you want to listen up. You want to zero in on what's coming now. But God, who is rich in mercy. I'm so thankful that my Father is rich in mercy. And it's because of his great love with which he loved us. Still does love us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You notice that he's made us alive together. He's raised us up together and made us to sit together. We're together. You're getting it. We're together. We are one body. And we've got to remember that. We're just but one little part of the body here tonight, but we're just one body across the planet. And those that name Jesus as their Lord and Savior and have accepted him, well, then they're our brothers, they're our sisters. So we're together. He's raised us up, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that's spiritually speaking. That's where we are. But we are spirit. And so we've been raised up. We're seated right there. And then God, when we got born again, he deposited his very spirit inside of us. So some people think, well, if I could just, you know, pray hard enough, or if God could just show up in my bedroom. How many have ever thought that? It's like, not necessarily. You don't need God to show up in your bedroom. He's inside of you. You won't be any closer to him when you get to heaven than you are right now. When you get that reality in your mind, in your mindset, then it makes it a lot easier to live life on this planet. It makes it easier to live life worthy of the calling. When you know he's not abandoned us. He's not 93, well, the sun's 93 million miles away. You know, heaven's further than that. I don't know how many millions of miles, but he's right inside of us. And so we don't have to go far. We just need to look inside and draw on. I made mention of that scripture that says that he's given us all things richly to enjoy. Well, he's given us everything, 2 Peter chapter 1 says, that pertains to life and godliness or godlikeness. He's given us everything. There's not a thing that you could need that he hasn't given you. And you say, well, Pastor, I need a new car. That's okay. He's given you a new car. It's in here. It's you've got to believe it, and you've got to act on what you believe, and you've got to listen like I did with that project there. You get to listen to what he tells you to do. He might tell you to do something that you need to act on. How many have ever had an unction, or you just had this thought, but you never acted on it? I can't tell you how many people that have told me, well, I thought of that idea. Some new thing comes out and you see it on Shoppers Network or you see it in Home Depot. And I thought of that 15 years ago. You thought of it, but you never acted on it. I know people right here in this congregation that said, I've invented that. You know, in my mind, I invented that. God probably is the one that gave you that idea. But what did you do with it? We really need to tune into listening because, you know, we're supposed to labor now, Hebrews tells us, to enter into the rest. We're not supposed to be sweating and toiling and pulling our hair out to make ends meet on this planet. We're supposed to enter into his rest, and we're supposed to spend time in fellowship with him and let him tell us how to run our business. Let him tell us how to be a manager on the job, or if you want to be the manager, how to prepare yourself and position yourself for advancement and promotion. God's the one that will promote you. He'll be the one to advance you, but you've got to position yourself in position to hear from the Holy Spirit. And so here we see that he's made us sit together. He's raised us up together that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. When you know how much the Father loves you and how kind he is towards you, there's not anything you should not be able to believe for. Now, he doesn't guarantee or promise that you'll get it by 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. But if you stick with it, it will show up. It will show up. And it's not always, listen, it's not always in God's timing. It could be, but it's not always. Sometimes he's spoken to somebody and they haven't done their part. So God has acted, heard your prayer, has sent the one that is the right one to meet your need or to speak a word of wisdom to you, but yet they haven't acted on it. Have you ever had the Lord speak to you about speaking to somebody, or you get an unction, oh, I should call that person, and you never call them? It might have been God was putting it on your heart to call them because they needed something. They were in faith, but you neglected to do your part. We're all in this together, remember? We're all raised up, seated together. So we need to listen together. And then we need to be obedient together. And when we do that, I think we would begin to hear more testimonies on a regular basis from everybody in the body of Christ. Instead of, you know, worrying and listening to what the news says and then trying to figure out how you're going to fix the news. I would be willing to say at least 90% of the news isn't fully true, so you wouldn't even know what to do in your own natural ability. But if you go to the Lord, he knows how to sift. He already knows the truth of what they're trying to tell you. He'll know and position you. He might tell you if you've got money invested in the stock market. He might tell you, pull out tomorrow, pull out today, or the next time you can get a hold of your broker or whatever. I prefer not to call my guy a broker. I stole that from Ken Gobb. He says, why would you call him a broker? If he's always broke, I call him a richer. But anyway, but listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. He might tell you tomorrow to take a different route to work. Listen to that. He doesn't have to tell you why. He usually doesn't tell us why, does he? He just tells us to do something, and we have to just be obedient to do it. It might be he's diverting you from an accident or a long wait in traffic, or it could be that he's going to bring you to a place and you see, oh my goodness, it's 40% off today. I'd been thinking about getting that, but I had no idea it was going to be on sale. This is for you shoppers. Put you in front of Kohl's at the right time. Yeah, Matt's going, no, no. Not another sale at Kohl's. Hobby Lobby, they're in town now. So we're up to verse 8 now. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Thank you, Lord. He did his part. We do our part. We cooperate. We work together. Remember, we're all together in this. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Say, I'm God's workmanship. You know God doesn't make junk. You know, he wired you exactly the way he wanted to. And so the quicker you learn how and understand how you're wired, the better it's going to be and easier you're going to fulfill the call of God on your life. And so I like the way the Amplified says, for we are God's own handiwork. You know, God was just having a good time when he created us. His workmanship. Think about it. I just picture, you know, Father God, he's out in the workshop and he's just creating a masterpiece. Just creating a masterpiece in each one of us. Perfection. Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, taking the paths which he prepared ahead of time. He has good works for us to do. He's pre-planned them, and he wants us to find them and follow them and fulfill them. And when we do, the world is going to see Jesus Christ in us manifest. Has to, because we're doing the works he wired in us to do. He called us to do. And we're his workmanship. When we get on board with who we are in Christ, we're going to look like who he created us to be. And the world is going to see something in you. And I believe that the best witness there is by the way we live. It's the way we live. The world should see that we're living a different way. I heard somebody say one time, and I'd never thought of it quite this way, but our actions never lie. Our words, we can talk a good talk, but how you really live behind the scenes is what God sees, but that's what the world sees too. You know? You're hanging out in the lunchroom and you know, you're participating in the dirty jokes that go on or whatever. I remember years ago, I worked in a mill and the truckers came in and they were good at cussing and good at coming up with these dirty, filthy jokes. And I would just excuse myself. You know, I had to help unload the trucks. But when it came time to, you know, get them all done, now they got to tell the latest joke. You know, I just excuse myself. Well, I worked for a guy, he was not a Christian. He was not a Christian, but after he began to see how I acted and how I, you know, presented myself, finally he began telling these truckers, we don't want to hear your dirty jokes. He used to participate in them, but all of a sudden, because of probably the righteousness he saw in me, he didn't want that anymore. He was protecting me. And I've shared this before, but there was one particular trucker, He'd tell some doozies, and you know, you could still hear him because he's loud, even though I go down to the end of the workshop. But I remember about 6 months after my boss said, we don't want to hear it anymore. And so they stopped. They probably marked us on the thing, you know, don't tell any jokes there. You know, leave it in the truck. If you're going to this place, the Imperial Millwork, don't be telling dirty jokes. They're going to just shut you down. Well, anyway, it was about 6, maybe 8 months later that same trucker come in. He knew by my demonstrating of how I lived, and he came up and asked me if I would pray for his mother who had just been diagnosed with cancer. And I took his hand, and he had tears coming down his eyes by the time I got done praying. And I wasn't where I am today. I was just learning how to walk by faith. I just, Lord, you know, you got my mouth open now, so I'm going to pray. And that trucker, it affected his life. It touched his life. I don't know where he is today. I didn't get a chance to, you know, lead him to the Lord, but I was sowing seed into his life. And I prayed for him, and I said, Lord, you bring people by his path, and you, you know, water that seed, and then, Holy Spirit, you bring the increase. But I did my part, and it was by my witness. I never said a thing about the Bible or anything. I didn't even bring my Bible to open it up so people could see it. It's just somehow they knew. Somehow they knew. And so anyway, we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That means we're supposed to do them. So there are things that we're called to do as believers, as we come into this covenant with Christ, and look at what he just got done telling us, how much he loved us, how much he poured out his kindness, how much he did for us, his great mercy that was poured towards us, his grace that was poured and abounds toward us. And now he says, okay, now I've called you to do some things. And so I just want to look at a few things here tonight. Drop down to verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Again, that's every born-again person on the planet. We've got to stop thinking about, well, they go to that church across town and we can't associate. No, we should associate with them. If they're in Christ, they're our brothers and sisters. We should love them. We should grieve with them when they're grieving. We should help them when they need help, and vice versa. Instead of, oh, we don't want, you know, we can't mix, you know, cross the lines. We've got some wonderful people that are Catholics that, my goodness, when I was growing up, it was almost like they were the Antichrist in the church we went to. The Catholics, oh, don't make friends with, oh, Johnny, don't make friends with the, they're Catholic. Were they? But here, get this one. Even amongst, well, I was in a Baptist church, but we had three Baptist churches in town. They wouldn't even talk amongst each other. Yeah. And there was a point in time where two different churches were having financial struggles, and somebody thought, well, let's just merge. Boy, that didn't work. They're just fighting when the elders and the deacons came together. It's just like, they wouldn't even talk to none. And they're a Baptist. Now I find out, you know, I don't know how many, this 500 or more, 600 or more, how many Baptist denominations are there? Hundreds of them. Why? Because we don't believe this, and so you're out. No, we're all in the same body. We're all going to see each other in heaven. We might be working together in heaven. Might put you right next door. Your mansion's going to be right next door to those Catholics. They probably still won't have Mother Mary out there on the... That won't be there, but anyway. So we're no longer strangers. We're fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, that's us, being fitted together, get this, fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom, are you in whom? Yes. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. If there's a couple that I've met that personifies that, it would be this couple that's here tonight. In crossing the lines of and the barriers, it's like, you know, they don't agree with everything that these people believe, but they love them. They invite them in and they pray with them. You know, that's what we need to do. Invite them in, get together with them. Because we're all in this together. Amen. Come on. I'm preaching a lot better than your amen. Go over to chapter 4. Come on, you're drawing this out. You're drawing this right out of the Word. I'm just the mouthpiece here tonight. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with long suffering or patience, bearing with one another in love. I'm taking my time here on purpose. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Got a little bit of Texas coming out there in you all. Never seen that before. You find every kind of nationality here. Every kind of. Yeah. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You know, he didn't just dole it out in a little half a dot teaspoonful. His measure, the measure of Christ's gift of grace, is immeasurable. You can't measure the grace of God. It's just there. Whatever need you come across, the grace of God is there to cover it. Spirit, soul, and body. His grace is enough. There's a song. His grace is enough. Yeah, it's more than enough. Sometimes it can be too much. Because, Lord, you're just pouring it on. Come on. So, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave himself, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. All the ones that are in this together. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. We all have a part to do to build up God's body, whom Jesus is the head of. What part are you? I mean, I don't know. Am I the little finger? Am I the toe? I don't know. But my part is necessary. Your part is necessary. And so when we get into strife and we get into arguing, we're really hindering the growth of the body. We're hindering in the building up of the body. And we're really participating with Satan tearing down the body. So we want to keep our eyes on God's word, on the scriptures that tell us what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. And then do those. Verse 13, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, that's verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man. That means a mature man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children. You know how many have ever raised children? You know, you don't want little Billy to stay little Billy, you know, for 30 years. You expect him to grow up. You expect him to wear big boy britches at some point, and you expect more out of him when he's 16 than when he was 3. And especially when he's 23, you expect a lot more out of him then. And so we're not supposed to stay children anymore. That's the same way in the spirit realm. Spiritually, we're supposed to grow up. Not just physically, but we're supposed to mature and grow up. So we should see. Like I said, years back, 20 years ago, I didn't know as much then. I wasn't required and held as accountable back then. And so I made some more mistakes that I wouldn't make today. And you would too, right? But when we grow up, we should learn from those things. And we should be making the body of Christ look better. We should really have the unbelievers, the heathens, looking at our body here and at the Catholic body and at the Presbyterian, they should be looking in and saying, these guys have got it together. And they should want what we have. They should want what we have. But I would say this, which we just read, every one of us has a part to play. So if we're all doing our part, we're going to look gorgeous when people come in. Or even when you're at the post office or at Walmart and they know that you come to this church and the church has a good reputation, or whether you go to the Catholic church and it has a good reputation, it makes God look good. It makes Christ look good. It exalts Jesus. It brings glory to the Father, which is what we want. We get the benefits. God gets the glory. You get your miracle. God gets the glory. Amen. This is good. This is real good. This is better than I thought it would be. So we shouldn't be children tossed. I wasn't running around the living room today like I'm just getting excited now. I knew it was good, but my, it's just it's coming out. We shouldn't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth, oh, look at this, in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. There it is again. We all have a part to play. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself, the body, in love. So the world should see that Christians are people of love. That's number one. Having, let's see. Yeah, we'll just keep going. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Remember, you just came out of this place. Okay? You once used to live this way. You had participated in the lust of the flesh, but you got born again. For by grace were you saved through faith. So now we're in the kingdom. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. We too were ignorant. We were just like them not long ago because of the blindness of their heart. Can you begin to see what we used to look like? But we're supposed to grow. We're not supposed to stay children, because you can get born again. If you never renew your mind, you'll still be and act like a child. You'll be saved. You know, you'll be headed for heaven, but you'll be a little baby in baby britches. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to, because he didn't design us to stay babies. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have so not learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Remember Jesus said over in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. The truth will set you free. That's why we want to renew our minds. He says right here that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12:2 says, be renewed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where we need to be. But I always back up now to verse 1. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I wrote right in mine, God just revealed this to me some time ago, that my tongue is part of my body. And so when I present my body a living sacrifice, I have to watch what I say. So I wrote it right in my Bible. It's okay if you write in your Bible. I won't get upset. And if you have a Bible that you can't, just throw it away and get you one that you can. Yes, and you can even use a coloring, you know, yellow highlighter in there, or pink or blue or whatever color tickles your fancy. But anyway, yeah, praise God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you might put on the new man. Put on implies that we have something to do. We have to put on. God doesn't just put on. Don't think God just does everything once we get saved. You'll find out real quick he doesn't. He doesn't do the believing for you. You have to do the believing. See, he does the miracles. You do the believing that he does the miracles. What an easy transaction that is. You just believe me. Well, you know, in God we trust. All others pay cash. You know? If I can believe God, so why can't I believe and trust him in every situation? Come on. All right, we're going to finish up here. We're going to go to 32. So, therefore, verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, oh, can't lie anymore, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. With his neighbor. It's not just saying with the born-again Christian neighbor, it's with your neighbor. Stop lying to your neighbor. Not that you have a problem lying, but he's just saying, don't do that, for we're members of one another. It's going to affect the whole body of Christ, isn't it? It could, it will, when the world sees that, oh, those Christians, that's the way they act. Yeah. I remember I've shared this before. I think it was when we watched the Holy Ghost movie, but they were out in San Francisco, and they were, you know, talking to people on the streets, and there was one guy on one corner, and he had big signs and whatnot, and telling, you know, homosexuals they're going to hell, and they're sinners, and, you know, and that's true. If they haven't got born again, they're going to hell, but that's not the gospel. And so this fella, he goes over, eventually makes his way over there and talks to the guy and says, you know, tells him who he is and whatever, and how long you've been coming out here. He says, for 30 years. And he says, can I ask you how many people you've gotten, you know, to make a decision for Christ? In 30 years, he had one. That's a lot of years of judging people, and one happened to just say, yeah, I got to get saved. But one. And I think that day they got like 11 people or 15 people just by telling them how much God loves them. So the body of Christ needs to demonstrate as well. We need to actually do what God is saying here. And so he says, put away a lying mouth. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he might have something to give him who has need. That's part of our mandate, to help people when they're in need. Or you say, but I don't have enough to help. Well, then you need to believe God that he gets you, because if he gave you that assignment, which he's given us all that assignment, then we need to believe and he will fulfill and bring in what we need. He's not going to tell you to give something you don't have. Well, God, I've only got 2 nickels. How about believing me for 10,000? Or maybe just 1,000. How about $100? If you know your neighbor's in need and strapped, you know, believe God. If you don't have it, believe God for it. But he said back in chapter 2, verse 10, that he's created us for good works. If you study out the New Testament, in many cases, the good works he's talking about is financial good works. It is sowing your time. It is, you know, a good word of encouragement here and there. But a lot of times, I'm not going to take, you know, time tonight to go through all the scriptures, but they're in there. You know, God talks about Timothy charging the rich people. So God's not angry at rich people. He's just charging them, do good with the money you have. Do good works with the money you have. Don't hoard it all and be a cheapskate. Be generous. Be giving. He said back in Galatians 6, you know, well, let's just quickly turn there. It's just back a couple pages. He says this to, don't be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. So you see, God's not going to have you give something where you don't, you know, he's not going to take you down, down, down so that you come to the end of your Christian life and you don't have a house to live in, you don't have a car, you don't have any clothes left, and you're just naked, ready to die. He takes you and elevates you up. You'll have more at the end of your life. You'll have more of an inheritance to leave your kids and your grandkids. Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I got 5 kids and 9 grandkids. They like it when I talk this way because they know they're in line to get something. Because I take it to heart. I am preparing. Now, if Jesus comes, we'll all sing hallelujah in the air, and that's okay. We'll just talk about it over dinner up there. But if he doesn't in my lifetime, and, you know, I get to be a ripe old age and decide I'm out of here, there's going to be some people that are going to get some stuff. I don't have just 2 cents. And God's given me ideas on how to do more. This labor of love project, this first one's for the family here, for Faith Alive. But he said, you show me how to do, I'll show you how to do the first one. You do the first one for me. I'll show you how to do the rest of them for you. He didn't say I had to do the second one for him. He said, I'll show you. Well, what's better, me trying to figure it out or him showing me how to do it? That means he's already got people lined up. He's already got the finances necessary to put the thing together. I don't even know what the thing is. I don't. It could be buying Harley-Davidson motorcycles and making a big profit. I don't know. I'm not going to limit him. I've learned enough about the Lord that when I try to figure out what way he's going to move, he moves totally. Never. I don't think he's ever moved the way I thought. So it's just like, I don't even go that way anymore. Why just try, you know, why waste the brain cells? You just pray in the Spirit. Let him show me. Praise God. Enter into the rest, right? All right. So he says, for he who sows to, verse 7 is where I wanted to get to. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 9, let us not grow weary. Here's something you got to just pay attention to. Don't get weary. You're tempted to? We need to just re-strategize when we're getting weary and say, Lord, okay, you got to help me with my schedule this week. Be fluid, like Barbara, or flexible or fluid, I guess that's the word, you know? But don't grow weary while doing good. He expects you to keep doing good while it looks like you could be getting weary. So you're doing good, but you're getting weary. He says, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Now, the Amplified says, so then, and as occasion and opportunity open up to us, let us do good to all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage. Be mindful to be a blessing. That goes right back to Adam. First thing God spoke over Adam was he blessed him. He pronounced the blessing on him. You look at the Amplified in that, and it says this blessing is dispensing good to others. And he said, all the things I've given you, all the things I've put in the earth, they're to serve me and to serve fellow man. That's why we need to be doing good to fellow man. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith who belong to God's family with you. Right back to the beginning. We're all in this together. All right, let's just, lastly here. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. Verse 29. Because verse 30 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You see, your big mouth can grieve the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to do that. We want to do the good parts here. We want to keep those things, but only bring speech coming out that would be beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. That's a tough one for you know, until you grow and learn how to remember. I always say, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should be hearing twice as much as you're speaking. So instead of, you know, getting in the flesh and lashing back, listen, hear out what somebody's saying. They might say something at the end like, I'm sorry, and that would just take all the air out of the balloon, wouldn't it? But if you don't give them a chance and say, I'm going to tell you a piece of my mind, friend, you can't afford to give up a piece of your mind. God told me to say that. You don't want to do that. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Stand with me, and we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for that great grace that abounds toward us. We thank you for your great mercy. Father, where we would be if you didn't have mercy on us. So we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Father, I pray that these words of yours, your word, has gone into the good ground of the hearts of those hearing it. And so we thank you for it. Thank you that it's going to grow up and produce results for you to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for coming. You are dismissed. We love you.